Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with the headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Qi Zhi. Coming up in this edition, rescue and relief efforts are underway in Taiwan following its strongest earthquake in a quarter century. 9 people are known to have died and over 1,000 have been injured. The United Nations has suspended nighttime deliveries of aid in Gaza due to security concerns as outrage continues over Israel's killing of 7 international aid workers. And the Palestinian Authority has formally requested for a full UN membership for Palestine, though facing hurdles of possible US veto. Starting in Asia, the island of Taiwan has been grappling with the aftermath of its strongest earthquake in a quarter century, as rescue and relief efforts continue. At least 9 people are known to have died in the magnitude 7.3 quake near the east coast. More than 1,000 others have been injured. The tremor and its aftershocks have brought down buildings and triggered widespread power outages. Captain Su Jinghui from the Hualien County Fire Department describes their rescue operation.
Occupants were trapped on the 3rd floor, 4th floor, 8th floor and 9th floor. We took a ladder truck to where people were trapped. Because the building is very tilted, the people were trapped by the bed and wardrobe and unable to move. We used the blasting equipment and special teams to get inside the building, break down the door and remove the debris, and rescue them one by one. We rescued 6 people, 4 men and 2 women. They are all conscious.
For more on efforts to locate the missing and help the people affected by the quake, Patrick Falk reports from Hualien.
There were several dozen people trapped inside a tunnel in northern Hualien County. They've been rescued. So, you know, we are going to be hearing more reports of the casualties over the course of the day. And of course, there's still a lot of uncertainty about the situation. There's still concern about possible aftershocks. You know, Taiwan is very much braced for the situation turning. The local mayor of Hualien has also said that people who have been in buildings that are at risk have been evacuated. There are a lot of people that spent the night in emergency shelters. Also, military personnel on hand saw about 100 of them. They are ready to provide support as is necessary. But we are also hearing reports that the quake warning system, the quake alert system, wasn't activated. There is an investigation underway to find out why that was. Other than that, authorities are really trying to assess what might happen in the coming hours and days, again, as we know, because there is still a risk of further tremors to come.
That was Patrick Falk on the aftermath of the earthquake in Taiwan. Turning to the Middle East, outrage continues over Israel's killing of 7 international aid workers in northern Gaza. Ships carrying humanitarian aid for the besieged enclave have turned around due to safety issues. This has raised concerns about people in Gaza who are on the brink of famine. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is facing increasing pressure to resign and to get the hostages back as the largest anti-government protest goes on in Israel. Sam Mitnick from the Associated Press reports from Jerusalem.
Following this airstrike, many aid organizations, including the World Central Kitchen, said they were pausing activities and their operations because of insecurity. Already, one of the boats that had come in from Cyprus with the World Central Kitchen, it turned back with about 240 tons of undelivered aid. Aid workers I have spoken to said they're going to revisit the situation in the coming days, but this comes amid a catastrophic humanitarian situation in Gaza, where aid groups have warned of imminent famine, particularly in northern Gaza. Now, this came on Wednesday as the bodies of the 6 foreign nationals were taken out of Gaza and through Egypt, and they are going to be repatriated. There were 3 British nationals, a Polish national, an Australian, and a dual U.S.-Canadian citizen. Their Palestinian driver was also killed. His body was given to his family and will be buried in Gaza. Now, there has been growing outpour of condemnation since this attack. United States President Joe Biden said that it just shows that Israel is not doing enough to protect civilians. The British government summoned the Israeli ambassador for a rebuke. The Canadian government said it was going to do the same. And the founder of the World Central Kitchen, Jose Andres, he said that this was an intentional strike by Israel. He said it was not a mistake. and he called on Israel to stop killing aid workers and civilians. Israel's military said on Wednesday that a preliminary investigation said that this was a mistake following a misidentification. They said that they were targeting Hamas, that they don't go after the people of Gaza, and they were going to launch an independent and thorough investigation. But the United Nations has said that this is not an isolated incident. They have been warning for months that it is dangerous to deliver assistance in Gaza, and that's because they say Israel is not providing safe passage. While this is going on in Gaza, in Israel, Netanyahu is facing increasing pressure to resign and to get the hostages back. Wednesday was the fourth day of what is being called the largest anti-government protests. Demonstrators stormed through the parliament. They smeared yellow paint on the glass. This was the color of their campaign. I have spoken to many of these protesters, and they say that Netanyahu has nothing to show for 6 months at war. And analysts say that as the six-month date approaches, that it looks like this is becoming a war of attrition, and that it appears that Israel does not have a strategy in place.
That was Sam Metnick in Jerusalem. In the Americas, the Palestinian Authority has formally requested for full membership for Palestine at the United Nations. The president of the UN Security Council says they will consult with members to consider the Palestinian push for full UN membership. Malta is the Security Council president for April. Its UN envoy says the request has been circulated to council members. Palestine's envoy says the aim is for the Security Council to take a decision at a ministerial meeting on April the 18th, but a vote is yet to be scheduled. The United States says that establishing an independent Palestinian state should happen through direct negotiations between the parties and not at the United Nations. Jody Jacobs spoke with Maya Onger at the International Crisis Group UN Advocacy and Research for more.
The issue dates back to 2011, when the Palestinian Authority first applied to become a full member of the world body. At the time, a committee investigating the application was unable to reach a unanimous decision, and the Security Council never voted on it. Now the matter is back on the table, with the Palestinians requesting a vote within the next 2 weeks.
That's a pretty quick turnaround, especially for the UN, which is an incredibly bureaucratic and slow process most of the time, which indicates that they're not actually thinking that this is going to be going through. They understand the US has a veto and will almost certainly use it in this instance, but it shows that they still see a normative importance of having this vote and gaining more international support for their the potential of their statehood.
In order for Palestine to be recognized as a full member of the United Nations, it will need to get approval from the Security Council and a two-thirds majority to be adopted by the General Assembly. The United States, as a permanent member, can veto the initiative if it is put to the vote.
The real hurdle is going to be a U.S. veto, which unfortunately I do not think in this circumstance is something that the Palestinians are going to be able to overcome.
Meanwhile, the body that will be focused on this matter in the coming weeks convened to discuss the impact of children and armed conflict, with a special focus on the children in the Gaza Strip. According to a Global Nutrition Cluster report, approximately 1 in 6 children under 2 years of age in northern Gaza are acutely malnourished, 3% of whom are experiencing wasting, the most life-threatening form of malnutrition. And with the Palestinian question being at the forefront of many conversations here at the UN, there is sure to be several diplomatic discussions in the coming weeks on the way forward and whether Palestine's recognition will pass muster.
That was Jody Jacobs at the UN headquarters in New York. In North America, severe storms have hit millions of people in the United States. Many parts of the country are reeling from damaging tornadoes, winds and flooding that knocked out power for thousands of homes and businesses. Jen Sullivan has more on the destruction and where the storms are headed.
Winds tearing down power lines, trees crushing cars.
Lexington did suffer significant damage this morning, with trees down, roads blocked, traffic signals out.
With more storms on the way, all of the Bluegrass State under a state of emergency. More than 75 million Americans from the Gulf Coast up through the Northeast impacted by severe weather and tornadoes. Parts of Kentucky, Indiana, and Ohio facing the highest risk.
This is a dangerous period of time.
This same system already tearing through parts of the Midwest, bringing tornadoes, damaging winds, flooding, and hail strong enough to break through glass in Indiana. In Chesterfield, Missouri, a tornado uprooting trees, branches piercing through one family's roof and through their kitchen ceiling.
We could see through the windows in the basement that something big had come down.
Heavy rains triggering flash flooding. Several vehicles underwater in Rock Hill, Missouri. Rescue crews wading through the water, using a boat to save a stranded driver.
The water comes up so fast that he got stranded in there, so we had to rescue him by boat.
The severe spring storm's not over yet. Parts of the Midwest and Great Lakes could see a foot of snow by Thursday, while much of the Northeast and South will see heavy rain.
That was Jen Sullivan on severe weather across the United States. Finally, in Africa, Zimbabwe has declared the ongoing drought a state of disaster. The country's president says they need $2 billion in aid. Farai Murukutuya reports from Harare.
More than 80% of Zimbabwe has received below average rainfall during the El Nino-induced drought, which will shrink grain output, cause a 680,000-ton grain shortfall, and leave more than 2.7 million people in need of food aid. The crisis has prompted President Emmerson Mnangagwa to join his Malawian and Zambian counterparts in calling an emergency.
I do hereby declare a national state of disaster due to the El Nino-induced drought. Accordingly, I now invoke Section 27, Subsection 1 of the Civil Protection Act.
That allows him to implement extraordinary response measures and accept donor aid. Addressing journalists at State House earlier, President Mnangagwa said his government will mount a robust and comprehensive response that will require some $2 billion to make sure no one goes hungry. If necessary, some planned government projects may be shelved.
Adequate resources will therefore be mobilized and redirected towards national food security, including through supplementary grain imports. All available grain in the country will be secured through competitive prices and prompt payment towards encouraging farmers to release and sell available grain.
Zimbabwe also plans to increase the amount of land producing wheat during the upcoming winter season and expand irrigation to shore up food supplies.
That was Farai Murukutuya on Zimbabwe's food emergency. Now recapping today's top stories, rescue and relief efforts are underway after a magnitude 7.3 quake hit eastern Taiwan, killing at least 9 and injuring over 1,000. The United Nations has suspended nighttime deliveries of aid in Gaza due to security concerns as outrage continues over Israel's killing of 7 international aid workers. And a Palestinian Authority has formally requested for full UN membership for Palestine, though facing hurdles of a possible US veto. And that's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Qi Zhi. Thanks for listening.